The men climbed the stairs, and they saw a table similar to this one. It was probably longer. There was food set on the table. There was 12 men called the disciples of Jesus. Over at one side was a pan of water, and there was a towel there. Usually, always, when you went to somebody's house, someone would wash your feet. Now, how many of you do that at home? We don't do that today, do we? We take a shower, maybe, or a bath, and we get all clean, and that's it. But back when Jesus was a little boy, and everybody did this. If you were to come to my house, we would have someone there that would get your feet clean. And it must have been refreshing to have that cool water washing away all that dust and dirt and anything else that might have gotten on a person's feet as they were walking. But this night it was different. This night those men had climbed up to the upper room. There was a two-story building, and supper was in place. And what's interesting to me, I think this supper was all prepared by men. But some men can cook good. Okay? So, as they had their supper, they had eaten the things that were there before. They had a number of little long green things with stems coming out. And if they were dipped in water, they would taste kind of bitter and strong, make your mouth pucker up a little bit like if you were eating a lemon. Certain kind of herbs were there. A lamb would have been the leg of the lamb would have been there. Anyway, after supper, Jesus got up, and he did something he had never done. You know what Jesus did? He went over and got that pan of water and started washing those men's feet. Not just a foot, but he washed their feet. And the place got quiet. Those grown men were not even saying a word. They were looking at each other. What is Jesus doing? Is Jesus washing feet? He was really the master teacher, and now he was assuming this role of washing their feet. And by the time that pan of water would have gotten all the way around those 12 men, it would not have been clean water at all. What that meant was that those men were to be in active service for other people. And also it symbolized a small miniature baptism. Someday I hope every one of you will be baptized. And then after you're baptized, you participate in the communion service. And when your feet are washed and you wash someone else's feet, it means that you want Jesus to give you total forgiveness of all sin and that you are willing to give of yourself in the service of other people. When we have communion, we show the Lord's death and his coming. And in all of that process, the scriptures tell us, do not be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. And I've been thinking about our communion service this week. Several things we do in the community of faith that are public in nature. We celebrate Christian weddings. We celebrate Christian funerals. We have the beautiful ceremony of baptism. We have baby dedications. And we have this service. Those are all common among people of faith, the community of faith. And I wouldn't begin today to try to prioritize which is the most important. But I know one thing is for sure. this service right here was not started just by a sudden emotion that Jesus had, or a quick idea that just suddenly came into his mind there on that Thursday evening as he met with the disciples. There's too much meaning and too much application, too much spiritual growth at stake in this service for it to be of minor importance to Christ. Whatever Jesus loves, Satan hates. So Satan hates what we're doing here in this service today. I think I might just know why. You see, Jesus himself, as he took the bread, he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." That was in a corporate sense for all the disciples that were meeting there, but it was also in a personal way. It's just like in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, you believe also in me." Well, the "ye" can also be corporate, including a lot of people, or it can be personal with only one person. But for this service right here, as Jesus says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." This is the blood of the New Testament. This is my life, which is shed for you. Yes, it includes all of humanity, but it is one of those rare times when it becomes very personalized. And so Satan hates the very fact that you are meeting here today to join with God's people and commemorate in a serious, formal, but yet very thoughtful and thankful way, Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and the promise of his second coming. That's the whole story of the gospel, isn't it? That our righteousness is tied up in Christ. You cannot separate righteousness from Christ. You cannot separate the righteousness from Christ from this service right here. There were times when we have been really big expositors of justification and sanctification. And in no less degree today should we be placing an importance on righteousness by faith. This is the service right here that Jesus' own lips said, "You do show the Lord's death until he come." Are you with me now? The justification part here is what God has done for us in heaven. He's already died. He's already ascended upward into heaven. He's in the heavenly sanctuary right now, working in our behalf. You have nothing to do with that. It's a wonderful gift, explaining what God has done for us. It won't be long, and an elder will be praying for the bread, and an elder will be praying for the wine. It takes us back to when Jesus gave his life, he gave his flesh on the cross for us. That's the justification part. But it also is a constant reminder of sanctification. We really are challenged to have characters that are like Christ. That's the standard, that's the goal that has been set for us. And in reality, each one of us here has some growth areas. We're lacking as we compare our standard with his standard. And the sanctification is shown by what Christ wants to do for us. In just a few minutes, we separate. We go to the rooms and we shall wash our wives' feet, or we shall wash a partner's feet. That is the part of sanctification demonstrated by these two services that are linked together. A willingness on our part to put selfishness aside and give of ourselves in humble service for other people. That's the reason Satan hates this service so much. If you want to make Satan mad, search your own heart right now in a spiritual inventory. Examine your life. Lord, are there things that I'm doing that I should not be doing? Are there things that I am doing that I can do better that would be pleasing to you? Making it a time of self-examination, which will lead to repentance and confession and a clean heart and mind that brings us back in here to eat the bread and to drink the juice representing Jesus' blood. As you know, we've been doing a series here on the basic beliefs of our church. And we could have no more appropriate time than today to talk about the Lord's Supper. Let me read what's officially stated, and I know that you will agree with this. The Lord's Supper is a participation in the emblems of the body and the blood of Jesus as an expression of faith in Him, our Lord and our Savior. In this experience of communion, Christ is present to meet and strengthen His people. You must believe it. Right now, the presence of God is in this place. As we partake of this, we joyfully proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. Preparation for the supper includes self-examination, repentance, and confession. The Master ordained the service of foot washing to signify renewed cleansing, to express a willingness to serve one another in Christ-like humility, and to unite our hearts in love. The communion service is open to all Bible-believing Christians. I'd like to read from Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." You are aware they had a common cup they passed around and drank from it when they were doing this the first time. But can you see Jesus taking the cup? Some call it the chalice. He took the cup, probably holding it, and He gave thanks. Now He's about to die, and He's thanking God that He's about to die. We pray today, thanking God that we're living, and that because of His death, we are almost to the place where where we are taking eternal life. Each day brings us a day closer. Jesus, He said, "Drink from it, all of you." Another place it's translated that we should drink all of it. So we do it in remembrance of Him. God bless you. Loving Father, we thank You for this wonderful service, reminding us of Your death and of Your resurrection and the promise of Your soon return. Let that be upon our mind, upon our lips. In Jesus' name, amen.